Some films are fine just the way they are. Other films sometimes take it way too far. But really, how bad could it get? Let's go beyond the box set.
Welcome everybody to Beyond the Box Set, where today, Beyond the Box Set, where today we are going to review Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, what do you think of this latest Marvel movie?
The latest Marvel, little bit late for us. We did watch this a few weeks ago.
Then we were late to the cinema.
We were like at least 3 weeks late from the release date. Yeah. So it's a bit of a belated episode, but nevertheless, I really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I think, unless you've had a change of heart since we walked out of the cinema, I think this is the rare occasion when I liked a Marvel film more than you did.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I've forgotten the bits of it that I didn't like.
I just thought
which just generally happens.
Yeah. I just thought this was charming. I thought this was a really good time. It didn't feel too long.
Mm-hmm.
Loved the cast. Love Awkwafina.
Oh, she's always good.
Awkwafina is amazing. She steals every scene she's in,
mm-hmm.
in every movie she's in.
Mm-hmm.
More Awkwafina, please.
Yeah.
But I thought he was great. I thought he was really good. Thought he was very well cast. I thought he was a really good, likable lead character. And it was beautiful to look at.
Mm.
And it was just, the storyline was, started off as quite its own thing, and then it got increasingly generic. But it's a Marvel film, I expect that.
Yeah, it got generic while also being convoluted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, something I expect from MCU films, to be fair.
But yeah, overall, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it went down a treat, I thought. It really did, I really, really enjoyed the kind of, all the references to classic like Chinese or Hong Kong cinema. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got a real sense of, like, obviously it's the first MCU film with a predominantly Asian cast.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really, and it didn't even really have any like token white characters
like,
to be
like Martin Freeman or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, normally there's at least one who gets kind of stuck in there just as like the audience surrogate. This film doesn't bother with that. It just trusts you to actually be able to watch people who have, you know, are a different race of your own, and not need someone to guide you through it. And
yeah,
this movie's like made a lot of money. Well, you know, it's done better than Black Widow did, which I think is it's great. Not that I was rooting for Black Widow to fail.
I don't really think it's a surprise because like,
well, it's not a, character who's got a massive pre-built fan base.
No,
apart from Awkwafina, who I wouldn't say is like a box office. You know, she's very popular, but she's. Mm. I don't think people are going to necessarily fly to the cinemas to see a new Awkwafina movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not really a big Banner name in this. He's not that well known, or wasn't before this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's
there's Bruce Banner at the end.
Well, there you go. Yeah, he's in it briefly. Yeah,
he's a big Banner name.
Okay, yes, very good. You're proud of that one, aren't you?
Well, you said it. I just had to point it out.
Okay, fine. Yes, so Bruce Banner is in this film.
Sometimes briefly. You just can't let a pun go unnoticed.
No, that's fine. Okay, no, that's fine. It's out of your system now.
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Well, I'll finish my point then.
Okay.
That was it, basically. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I think word of mouth was big on this one. I think people just the fact that it was good and entertaining, and people kept coming to see it. And yeah.
Yeah, and it looked fantastic.
It looks amazing.
I really love the choreography. Now it's mainly in the first half. It does kind of fade away in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be one of my problems with it. I'm not too sure. I don't feel that passionately about that. But yeah, the choreo at the start is so good. That bus scene.
Oh yeah! Oh, the fight on the bus is hilarious. Yeah, I think the choreo. I would argue the choreo has a lot of really good martial arts. There's a lot of callbacks to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which just Michelle Yeoh being in it is a callback to Crouching Tiger because she's in Crouching Tiger.
Got it. Yeah.
But I think it's just there's so many beautiful, beautiful shots in this film of the martial arts and the costumes as well. A lot of the costumes really hark back to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It looks gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah. All the stuff set in and around Hong Kong is amazing. I mean, it's really, really.
I would have liked Michelle Yeoh to have a little bit more to do.
I agree.
Just a tad, like just a fight scene towards the end.
I do agree with that. She has a few moments here and there, but she is definitely, they promise more than they deliver with her. Like there's a scene when she squares up to the main villain. And you're like, oh yes, come on, Michelle Yeoh and Tony Young are going to fight. That's going to be epic.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to something else. You know,
Yeah.
That's a shame. Yeah. Yeah, because also Tony.
I think that like she squares up to him and then he just walks away.
Pretty much.
And
yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine. I was like, oh, come on. That's really underwhelming.
Yeah. High kick him. Go on. Yeah.
And like, because at that point, they've already they've already introduced us to two characters who are like the bad guy's goons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, as actual characters, not just nameless goons.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't really have a fight scene with either of them. Like, they're both there. Just give her a fight scene.
Yeah, no, you're right. There isn't really a Michelle Yeoh fight scene.
It doesn't even need to be Michelle Yeoh. Just make it a stunt double, but...
Sure. You know. I mean, I guess she isn't as young as she used to be, but... I mean, she's an amazing martial artist, like, or was back in her day. I'm sure she still is to a degree. But yeah, I love the fact that she was in it. I think that I was really excited to see her. She pops up about two-thirds of the way through the movie and is great. But also, I think the cast really elevates this generally.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who plays the dad, Tony Leung, he is, I think he's been described as like as the Robert De Niro of Hong Kong cinema. Like he's a very, very highly respected actor in Asian cinema. And I think you can tell he like brings a degree of like quality to it. You can tell he's like a really good actor. You know, that could have been like anyone playing that character, but he really brings a lot of dignity and just like gravity to the role. I think it makes that kind of relationship that he has with the son, played by Simu Liu, the guy who plays Shang-Chi.
First time, well done.
That was difficult, yeah. I'm trying really hard. That father-son relationship, it plays out really in a really interesting way.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of his sister?
I thought she was good too, a little bit underused by the end.
Yeah, well, I was kind of thinking, I was thinking that too, that she was getting a bit, before she was starting to get underused, I was thinking like, oh, this is kind of weird. It's kind of like both their movie now, like they're kind of, they've got equal stakes in this.
Mm.
And she's been given a really interesting backstory and there's stuff going on here.
Mm.
Why is it his movie? Like, why is it only his name in the title? Why is it not both of theirs?
Yeah.
And then they kind of sideline her a little bit towards the end, but they definitely tease that, like, she's got something coming.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, one of the mid-credits scene was definitely setting up that she's going to be maybe an antagonist in the next movie.
Yeah.
Or definitely has more to do. But and I'm interested to see that. But yeah, there was certain scenes because
there's not many families in the MCU, like with siblings. I mean,
well, there's Black Widow and what's Florence Pugh?
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. Technically, an adopted family, a fake family.
Okay, oh, fine. Wow, what a harsh thing to say to anyone.
I mean, they were put together by the KGB to pretend to be an American family or something like that.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
That's what I mean by fake.
Okay, sure.
Shut your face.
Okay. Pointing out there.
So it's a kind of new relationship for a Marvel character to have.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting.
Oh, no. Thor and Loki. There it is.
There you go.
I knew I was missing one.
Yeah, so maybe making her the villain's not the way to go.
Mm.
I don't think they were definitively saying at the end that she was going to be the villain. They just kind of hinted that something's going on with her.
Yeah, I could see her getting like a Disney Plus series.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I felt the same way.
That sort of thing.
Either that or she's like, the antagonist in the sequel, one way or another. Yeah.
I don't think she'll be the antagonist, but I think that they'll do a team up again, but her methods are questionable.
Okay, that could work, yeah.
And, you know, he's got something to say about it. Like, oh, I don't like what you're doing in this in this foreign country that you're invading or something like that.
Sure, yeah. That could work, yeah. So, not that we're going to do a full plot story, but we skipped ahead a little bit. So the basic plot of this is that Shang-Chi, he's a kind of ordinary-ish seeming, like 20-something, I guess, 20-something, 30-something, who can say, kid, just, well, man.
20-something because he referenced Gangnam Style as a song that happened in high school for him.
Oh, okay, sure, yeah.
Which I had questions about because I was wasn't that like a few months ago?
No, you're showing your age there, Harry. Gangnam Style was at least 10 years ago at this point. So,
yeah. Oh, no, I'm not having this.
Yeah, that's how it happens, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, he's living a relatively ordinary life in New York with his best friend, Katie, played by Awkwafina.
Yeah.
But it turns out that his mother died when he was younger, and his father disappeared, it seems. Well, this is what we don't know. His father is no longer on the scene. Mm. And then it turns out that his mother left him this, was it a bracelet or a necklace?
A pendant.
Yeah. And then he starts being pursued by crazy goons who are after that pendant. And it sounds like his sister has a matching pendant as well. She's stuck back in Hong Kong. And it's all about how the father is this insane warlord who's been alive for 1,000 years, has been kept alive by these mysterious MacGuffin golden ring things.
Yeah.
weren't the most explained. They were just kind of a thing he found.
Yeah, they were very unexplained. I think it's because in the comics, they're entirely different.
Okay.
In the comics, they're rings that you wear on your finger with jewels in them.
Okay.
And they're all different colors, and each one of them does a different thing.
Ah, okay.
And I imagine that when they came to make this film, they were like, this feels very familiar.
Yeah.
Like something we might have covered in a recent film. Let's do something else. And so...
Now they're just kind of like cool wristbands.
Yeah, like they were stuck with the Ten Rings because that's the name of the organization, and they'd already referenced that in previous films, so I guess they couldn't really change it. They're like, they're still ring-shaped.
Yeah.
Will that do? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it works.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it does make for an interesting way of fighting.
Mm. But the reason I was telling the backstory is that I was thinking that with the sister, there were certain moments when I thought, oh, he's got these 10 rings that have been passed from man to man or whatever. Well, his father's had them for 1,000 years, whatever. Mm. Maybe he's going to split them with his sister and they'll have 5 rings each.
Right, yeah.
Didn't happen.
No.
I thought that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, he keeps them all for himself.
Maybe later?
Maybe, yeah. The sister never... Mm-hmm. That's something. They never have that conversation where the sister's like, well, why should you get them? Why not me? Because there's a lot about how she's just as good of a fighter.
Yeah.
She's trained herself. You know, she's had to work harder in many ways because she wasn't officially trained at this kind of dojo that they've been raised in when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just thought they could have done a bit more with that relationship, but it was still, it's got potential, and this film's certainly going to have sequels. So
yeah.
What did you think of the dragons?
They're all right.
Yeah,
they were a bit overwhelming.
Like, yeah, it was like, very.
As soon as the dragons came on, it felt like there was nothing else really happening.
Yeah, as soon as the dragons stuff, it becomes like a generic Marvel CGI fest, I thought.
Yeah. It's just a little difficult to sort of see what's going on. And
yeah. I definitely preferred the smaller individual fight scenes. Like when it really lent into the martial arts aspect, I thought that was what I enjoyed the most. Mm. When it became a creature feature, I was like... Mm.
I remember the thing that I didn't like about this was that there's two action scenes in the first sort of half. Mm. You know, there's the bus scene and then there's one at the sister's fight club.
Yeah.
Where they're like running around on scaffolding outside.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like exposition for a solid 45 minutes and backstory and flashbacks.
Oh, you had a real problem with all the flashbacks. I didn't mind them.
Yeah. And like, I felt that just nothing really happened during this part of the movie. It's just a lot of telling you what happened and like, oh, now you've met Trevor Slattery's here now as well with his weird little.
Oh, yes. Is that Ben Kingsley's character? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's got a weird little Pokemon sidekick.
I really thought this movie had
I did quite like that, but it's still, I don't know, I'm still a little bored by it.
It did slow down a touch in the middle, I do agree. Mm. Yeah. I'll just to go back to that, the first fight scene, and it's one of those things that they do a great deal in the MCU, where when they set up a new hero, and it's like, he's just an ordinary, everyday guy. Yeah. Oh my God, he's an amazing fighter. But like, I think in the first fight scene, when one of the goons is like trying to intimidate Shang-Chi into a fight, and Awkwafina just says something like, does he look like he can fight? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. He's built. He's stacked, Awkwafina.
Yeah.
Like that always makes me laugh when they act like this character, this puny little worm or something, and like clearly this guy is...
Just because like he's wearing a hoodie and not a headband.
Yeah, he's clearly ripped to shreds. Yeah. It's not an accidental body. Yeah.
yeah. And they give him a little topless scene as well.
Of course they do.
They have to.
Yeah. I did like that him and Awkwafina were just pals though.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I love that they sort of drew attention to that right away and then they stuck with it.
Yeah.
They fully stuck with it and they didn't give him any kind of romantic interest.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I remember finding weird about Black Panther was that they match him up with Lupita Nyong'o, but they don't really go anywhere with it.
That is true. It's interesting how they don't give these characters love interests. Like.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of here for Shang-Chi to be maybe he's gay.
Yeah.
You know, he like his favorite thing is going for karaoke with his girlfriend, you know. His best girlfriend, you know.
I mean, they still could do
that.
That's
something. There's been absolutely no indication. I think they'd be quite nervous of doing that. But
yeah, especially in China.
True, yeah.
I absolutely don't see Marvel doing that with a new lead character.
No. It's just going to be like the quirky, fun supporting characters.
I don't necessarily...
Who's the most high-profile homosexual in the MCU?
I don't necessarily think that. I think it could be more... well, they missed a great opportunity with Loki.
Yeah.
Because in the Loki TV show, they revealed that he's bisexual.
Sure.
But then...
That's a cop-out.
it is a bit, especially when like it then he then goes on to have like a pretty big female romance.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I'm not saying bisexuality is a cop out, but making a character bisexual ish in a TV show film, especially when it's just hinted at, is just like that's a cop out.
What they did was a cop out. They had a great opportunity to get like a character that a lot of people love already just for what he's done, with previous films, and they had a great opportunity to make him gay.
Yeah.
Or if they really wanted to go with bisexual, but at least like match him up with a man.
Yeah, sure.
That would have been it, because you'd been like, well, sorry, you liked this guy from all the past movies. He was gay in all those too. We just didn't show it.
Yeah.
Now we're showing it, so soz.
Yeah.
But they will not have the guts to do that with a brand new character.
No, I know.
So
no, that's never gonna happen.
Technically speaking, Loki is the highest class LGBT character in Marvel.
Oh, that's sad.
It is sad, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the next one down / only one down is a cameo that one of the directors of Endgame gave himself.
Oh, is that the next best one when there's those two?
I think
the literal that 5 second scene where there's like, oh, my husband was snapped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that might be
tragic.
I think that might be it. Maybe there might be someone I'm missing. I'm sure there's like a high school character in Spider-Man or something.
Oh, I'm sure there's some quirky best friends and, you know, comedy side characters, but like.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not Shang-Chi's fault. There's many good things about Shang-Chi. But no, I did find it interesting that, yeah, that they didn't really build up it into a love story. They were just pals. It really tickled me at the end of this film when Shang-Chi is beckoned into, I guess, the Avengers. You know, you need to come with us, you know.
Yeah.
They transport out of nowhere.
Oh, thank God, another Avenger, all the rest are dead.
Yeah. So he gets summoned by Bruce Banner and Captain Marvel, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what's that guy called? The guy... Wong, yeah. Yeah. He gets summoned by Wong, Bruce Banner and Captain Marvel, and then they're like, Awkwafina, you better come too.
Yeah.
For no reason. She's not a superhero.
For the laughs.
Yeah.
We've all got sidekicks.
Yeah. You're a likable side character with potential for a spin-off. Come on.
Yeah.
Come with us. Come with us for the sequel. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was no reason for it to be in that scene, but it really made me laugh that he just brazenly did that. So,
Yeah.
That was fun. It was a fun film.
Yeah, it was a fun film. What do you rate it out of 10?
I give this a solid 8.
Yeah, I'll give it an 8 too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good time.
It was a pleasure to watch. I was not enthusiastic about it, I'm not going to lie. Going in, I was like, oh, here's another one.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Had a great time.
Yeah, same.
Lots of like actual laugh out loud moments.
Yeah.
The karaoke scenes really tickled me.
Yeah.
Awkwafina using the art of confusion really tickled me.
Yeah, I guess we should go home and prepare. Oh.
Cut to like them singing Little Nas X on karaoke. Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, Awkwafina singing Hotel California.
That was amazing. That really made me laugh.
I think that was probably the funniest bit. They set up that joke and the delivery, the timing was
perfect,
flawless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Put Awkwafina in everything. I would eat it up with a spoon. She is great.
Yeah. So it's a really good film. I'm the same. I wasn't super enthused going into it. I was more curious than anything. Like, well, what's this? Are they going to bring in Trevor Slattery from Iron Man 3? That'd be a weird callback for just the Marvel fans.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if it would add anything. And it did add stuff, I'd say, because it was a bit fun. And the film was a pleasant surprise. Good. Are you looking forward to Eternals? Or now are you feeling about Eternals as you were about Shang-Chi before seeing it?
I don't know. My feeling on the Eternals is I'm intrigued because it's a really interesting choice of director. I think it'll do some interesting things with it. My fear is it will be super boring. My fear is it's going to be really boring. If it's not, I'm open for it to be really good though.
I'm so intrigued.
I mean,
I like
the cast.
Yeah, no, the cast is fantastic.
Yeah.
Kumail
Nanjiani is hilarious. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I've never made you watch The Big Sick.
No.
You should watch The Big Sick.
Sure. I'll add it to my list. The cast is great. I mean, the director,
interesting. Yeah,
I don't like Nomadland, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
This was made before that, I imagine. And I'm very fascinated to see how much input the studio will have had, because I can't see Marvel producing a boring movie, like Nomadland.
Yeah.
Movie.
No, can you imagine if it was just Nomadland? Just these sad, sad mutants just like on a trailer park, not really doing any magic, just like, you know, trailing, you know, breaking a few plates and crying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming out within a couple of weeks of Dune, and I feel like that's not going to do well for either of them.
Yeah. I wonder who's going to cannibalize whose sales.
Yeah, I mean, Dune's out first. It depends how well Dune does. If Dune comes out
like tomorrow, isn't it?
Dune's out tomorrow.
For us.
So if Dune does incredibly well.
And Dune's already been out in many other places in the world.
True. So actually, yeah, I mean, it could be, if Dune does really, really well, then it'll be a little bit harder for the Eternals if there's like audiences are just still really.
When is Eternals coming out?
Mid-November. Actually, maybe there's a bit of a gap then.
Yeah, there's like a few weeks there, yeah, 3 or 4 weeks.
Might be okay then. Yeah. We'll see. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm more excited for Dune, but that's just me.
Yeah. But that one, I don't want to go and see Dune, but I do.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it is. I'm not sure I want to get into a whole new thing.
I don't think it's going to be like a franchise. They'll be lucky it's been designed as a two-parter. I think if they get that, they'll be lucky. You know, it's a hard sell. It has to. It's a very expensive movie that has only ever been a flop previously. Like the previous versions of Dune have always flopped. So it's a tough sell.
Yeah.
But if it works, it could be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I still really like the director. Mm-hmm. You know? Arrival's still one of my favorite sci-fis.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I liked Blade Runner 2041. Didn't love it, but I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Yeah.
Okay. Well, ultimately, listeners, we've got more movies coming up, so stay subscribed. The countdown to the end has begun. Let's just leave it at that.
Indeed.
Thank you for subscribing, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye. Let's go beyond the box set.